To see all of you gathered here at Emmanuel this morning, kind of a joyful crowd, a lot of chitter chattering going on. That's good. That means you like one another. It's really good. Usually the pastor comes to kind of preach to the people and tell them how they need to change direction and do something different. Every so often it's actually good to affirm the good practices that are already going on. And I'm going to do that today in my message here at Emmanuel. I want to talk about something that's very special, and I just saw it here with all of you as you gathered, and that is the fruit of the Spirit of kindness. The more we practice that fruit, kindness, the more God's kingdom spreads. I should introduce myself. Some of you I have not met before. I'm Pastor Jeremy Lucky. I'm the pastor at Peace Lutheran Church down in Philomath. We're kind of in a partnership with Emmanuel here at Albany. Your deacon, Larry Oliver, is a member of Peace Lutheran Church, and we have swapped pulpits for today. And so he's down serving the people at Peace, and I'm up here to serve you. So it's great to be here this morning. Wish you God's blessings. Thankful for everyone who came early to get the fans going and get all the technology working, so I wish you God's blessings on our worship here at Emmanuel. We begin with our invocation. We make our beginning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, who is like me? You are the first, and you are the last. Besides you, there is no God. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from of old and declared it?
Behold, we are your witnesses.
Is there a God besides me?
O Lord, you know no God
Please rise for a time of confession and absolution. Only God Most High, the earth is full of your steadfast love. But we have turned away to the many passing loves that arrest our attention. Forgetting there is no God besides you, we often think we know what is best for ourselves and for others, but we don't. And so we groan in pain with the consequences of our sin. Hear our cry for Jesus' sake and have mercy on us. Beloved in Christ, God, the only God, hears your cries for mercy, blotting out your transgressions for his own sake and remembering your sins no more. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Jesus and by his authority, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, besides whom there is no other God, in this world your people suffer great affliction, having no enduring place in which to dwell. Grant that we who are not home yet with you in your kingdom may endure with patience, being sustained by your word and your gracious Spirit, who intercedes for us with deep groanings. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we hear from God's Word.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is from Isaiah 44, 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Who is like me? Let him proclaim it. Let him declare and set it before me, since I appointed an ancient people. Let them declare what is to come and what will happen. Fear not, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from the old and declare it? And you are my witness. Is there a God besides me? There is no rock. I know not any. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And our psalm for today comes from Psalm 119. The Lord is my portion. I promise to keep your words. I entreat your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. When I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. Though the cords of the wicked ensnare me, I do not forget your law. At midnight I rise to praise you because of your righteous rules. I am a companion of all who fear you, of those who keep your precepts.
Our epistle reading this morning comes from Romans 8:18-27. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subject to futility, not willingly, but because of him who was subject it in hope, that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain freedom of glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we await eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. New hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us and groans too deeply for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 13th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servants said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in gathering the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn.' Then he left the crowds and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the weeds of the field.' He answered, 'The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed is the sons of the kingdom. The weeds are the sons of the evil one, and the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Just as the weeds are gathered and burned with fire, so will it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all causes of sin and all lawbreakers, and throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ." Living together in trust and hope, we now confess our faith in response to the gospel in the words of the Apostles' Creed. We share together. "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen." Congregation may be seated for our sermon hymn. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. What a privilege it is to serve you here this morning and share a message with you. And I'm actually going to talk about one of the fruit of the Spirit. In our parable that we have here, Jesus has been speaking parables in Matthew chapter 13, and he does compare us to plants. We want to find out how we can bear fruit, so today we're focusing in on the fruit of kindness, biblical kindness. Dear friends, one of the things that I really enjoy about summer is just watching the wake of boats that zoom on by me when I'm out by water, maybe a lake, that sort of thing. It's kind of mesmerizing looking at the wake of boats that go by. And actually, a wake can tell you quite a bit about the boat that has just passed you by. Think about some of these things, and maybe if we have expert sailors here in the congregation, you can verify if this is true, but I've read this. I've read that if the wake is straight and goes out a ways and is very straight on and dead on, that tells you that the boat in front of it was going from point A to point B, and that the operator of that boat is probably doing quite well and has a reason to move the boat very quickly. If the boat has kind of a wavy or uneven wake, it is a sign of mechanical failure. Maybe the engine isn't operating as it should, or the rudder's not pushing the boat the way that it should go. If the wake is smooth and flat, that tells you the speed of the boat, how fast it has gone. If the wake is deep down into the water, that's an indication of the drag. It can actually pinpoint what kind of boat has been going through the water, how much weight is on that boat, and how much drag it's given. Now, experts can actually, almost without even stepping onto the boat, by just simply looking at the wake, they can tell a lot of information about that boat. Maybe you know someone that knows this about cars. They hear a motor that goes across the street, and they can say, that's a Chevy 1957. People can do this with boats, with the wakes that they leave behind. Dear friends, as God's children, as his people, I'd like for you to know that you, in your life, leave behind a wake behind you. The places that you pass, as you make decisions, as you make choices, as you have relationships in your life, you leave behind a path for other people to see and observe. Maybe it's in the business that you work in, the choices that you make, and the way that you work for your employer. We talked about in Bible study this morning. Those choices leave a wake behind that people notice. You can't hide that wake. As you travel and take leisure time, and perhaps someone serves you at a restaurant, the way you treat them, that leaves a wake behind for others to see. Even how we engage on the internet, the different sites that we go to, and perhaps interacting in social media, that leaves a wake for other people to see how we've lived and the choices that we've made. Now, here's the scary news, friends, this morning. I'll be very honest. Here's the scary news. The reality of it is this. A boat's wake cannot lie about the boat. However the wake is, that is exactly what the boat is doing. So also, the wake that other people see is 100% truthful about the people that we are, the people that we have become. It doesn't lie. There are some people who have never met you before, yet they will make judgments because of the wake and the choices that you've made in your life. Has it been a smooth wake that you've left for other people, or has it been rough? Well, this morning, what I'd like to talk about this morning is the kind of wake that Jesus wants us to leave behind us. The fruit of the Spirit, kindness, biblical kindness. Now, the word kindness today, probably when I mentioned it at the beginning of service, probably thought, well, that's kind of a vague thought. I don't really know what that means. Now, in the world today, kindness is kind of a lost thought. But I want to share with you this morning that biblical kindness is very specific and does two very specific things. The first thing that biblical kindness does is that it's genuine and authentic. Genuine and authentic, what does that mean? Well, the choices that the actions that we do can do two different things. They can come from two different sources, I should say. One action that we do can come from outside of us, a very surface level kind of statement or action that we make, but on the inside, we're burning up with anger. Something else is going on, you know, deep inside of us that doesn't match our outward act of kindness. So think of it this way. If I went up to Don and said, "Don, I think you got a wonderful bald head." But then if I turned my back and said, "Don is such a rough guy, I don't know if I like him," that doesn't match. Or if I said, "Albany is such an amazing community," but then I drove down to Philomath and said, "Oh, Albany, oh, I had to go up there today." See, that is not kindness. That's not kindness. That's the way the world operates. That's not biblical kindness. Kindness on a biblical level actually bubbles up from deep within our hearts and bubbles up so much more that all it does is it just comes out, and all you can do is be but kind. So when Paul talks about kindness in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, Paul says this: "Be kind-hearted, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another as the Lord has forgiven you." Kindness is a deep inner feeling that bubbles out onto others. Not an outward act, not just a flippant thought that you make. Kindness is, secondly, biblical kindness is also about friendship. Friendship. I think you guys have friends. Do you have friends? Does everyone here have friends? I hope you have friends. Kindness happens when you have deep friendships. Friendships oftentimes have really good parts to them. We have shared experiences. We have celebrations that we experience with others. We raise our kids with others, and we talk about the memories that we have with them. That's nice. But friendship also has another component to it. Sometimes there are bad things that happen in friendship, like that person that voted a different way than you. Oh, man. Or that discussion that you got into and you really don't see it the same way, or that time that you just had a spat that other people heard about. Friendship has good parts to it, it has bad parts. Here's what kind friendship does. If you can say at the end of all the good and all the bad that you would go through all those situations with that person and do it all over again, just hit the repeat button, that is kindness, a deep sense of friendship, no matter what, unconditional connection. Well, dear friends, probably the greatest example of kindness that I have found in secular movies is the movie The Young Frankenstein. Has anyone seen Young Frankenstein? Okay, yes, a few people are nodding. It's a very funny movie. Young Frankenstein is a story about Frankenstein. He has a bolt coming out of his neck, and he has a scar across his forehead, and he's scary, and he's really tall. No one wants to be friends with Frankenstein. Who would want to be friends with a monster? In fact, the villagers, they come after looking for Frankenstein. They want to capture him and put him on the stake and burn him. He doesn't have any friends. Well, if you see the movie, there's actually another person too that hasn't had any friends and doesn't have any kindness. And hasn't had anyone treat him kindly, I should say. That is a blind man. And he prays in the movie. He prays to God, "Please send someone that can be a friend to me." And of course, at that moment, the director shifts the camera over to the wall, and there's a picture of a cross, a crucifix with Jesus on it. And at that exact moment, guess who walks through the door? Frankenstein. Frankenstein and the blind man, the Frankenstein reaches out his hand, the blind man reaches out his hand, and they shake hands, and they become friends. It's the perfect friend for Frankenstein because the blind man can't see his mars and his scars and his deep voice. You know what, friends? I actually think we would love to be like Frankenstein. Now, don't walk away today saying the pastor said that we should be like Frankenstein. That's not what I'm saying. But what I mean by that is this. Wouldn't it be great in life if we had friends that were blind to our weaknesses, blind to our scars on our faces, the bad choices that we made, and that they were blind to those things and still extended the hand of friendship and said, I want to be kind to you and be your friend. See, we all want that experience. Christianity does one better than even that. Brothers and sisters in Christ, God has sent you his son, Jesus. And he does see the weaknesses and the bolts and the scars and the wrong choices that you've made. And Jesus still sends out the hand to shake your hand and be your friend. That's the story of Jesus. In John chapter 4, when he sees a woman at a well, he sees the scar of 5 divorced husbands. Jesus extends the hand of friendship, kindness, biblical kindness. Jesus sees the eyes of Peter that are going to deny him in just a few moments. Jesus still extends the hand. Jesus saw the lame and lepers in which everyone else ran away as if they were Frankenstein, and they go in an opposite direction. Jesus hung out with them. And friends, here's the good news this morning. Jesus sees you just as you are, without your makeup on, with the blemishes, with the mistakes. And you know what he says? Jesus says, I want to be your friend. Receive my forgiveness. I love you. Jesus is a lot different than Frankenstein, friends. Frankenstein died because he was imperfect, and he died involuntarily. He was taken up and burned alive by the villagers. Jesus did way better than Frankenstein. See, Jesus died because he was perfect. He didn't have any blemishes, and he did it voluntarily because he loves you and wants to be your friend. That's the kind of wake that Jesus left 2,000 years ago. An amazing wake in what he did. He went to places like Capernaum and Galilee and met people like Pontius Pilate. And when he did that, there was a ripple effect. And guess what? Here in Albany, 2,000 years later, we're experiencing the wake of Jesus. It's a gentle wake, and it's a great one to live in, to experience the kindness that he offers to others. Dear friends, let's be thinking about the kind of wake we leave behind us. Is it a wake of kindness? In other words, is there someone in this community that has a bolt sticking out of them, that has a scar across their face, that has made mistakes? Will you reach out the hand of friendship and be kind to them? Maybe it's just not necessarily in the community, maybe it's in your own family. Is there someone that's hurt that no one else wants to talk to in your family? They've got a scar. Can you reach out in kindness, the fruit of kindness, and bring them in and leave a wake behind? I pray so. Let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, today we're challenged with kindness, and I thank you for this congregation that practices kindness in an amazing way. Lord, may it bubble up into this community and in the lives of the relationships that exist here, so that others can experience that sweet taste it is to have a hand extended in love and in kindness to bring them in friendship. Lord, I pray that that be the case today. In Jesus' name, amen. Having heard the word, we now respond as we take time to gather our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Please rise as we continue with the prayer of the church. In our prayers this morning, we will remember the Glender family with the passing of Jean, and their family is here today in church. We'll pray for God's strength in the days ahead as they gather together and celebrate the life and the promises that God offers, even in death, through his son Jesus. And also Laureen, who's battling esophageal cancer. Let us bow our heads in prayer. O God, you are merciful and gracious. The world and all it contains belongs to you. Yet the sufferings of this present time remind your people that we are not yet home. Help us to trust in your mercy as we wait for you to fulfill all things. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are merciful and gracious. Together with your whole creation, people everywhere cry out in pain of body, mind, and spirit. Today we especially pray for Paula, Dan, Dolores, Jerry, Audrey, Sherry, Piper, and Norm and Laureen. And we lift up those who cannot be with us today. Tom, Bonnie, Arlen, Fred, Denny, Karen, and Marion. Surround each of these with your love and compassion. Strengthen them in their weakness and bless them with your healing presence. Sustain each of us and all who suffer afflictions, bringing them healing and wholeness in your good time and ways. Lord, in your mercy. God of life, we give thanks for the earthly life of Jean Glender. We thank you for his baptism, his confirmation, and life of faith in you. We pray that you will comfort, Vi and all the family as they struggle with his passing. Bless them in this difficult time and grant them your peace. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy. O God, you are merciful and gracious. Each day we are reminded that we are not home yet, but according to your promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Until that day, Lord, keep us from all evil and bless our going out and our coming in from this time forth and forevermore. We pray for these things and whatsoever else we should have asked of you, so grant us by your mercy, O God. It is into your hands, Heavenly Father, that we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy and praying that your will be done through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Taught by our Lord and trusting in his promises, we are bold to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his everlasting peace. Amen. You may be seated. So newsletter deadline is Tuesday. Are there other announcements to share for the congregation? Sounds. I did see that the service for Gene Glender is going to be July 29th. And what time was that exactly? Did you set a time?
10 o'clock
here at Emmanuel. Okay. And great to have the family, the Glender family here, David and Sandy. David was saying he was confirmed in this church, right? Brought up and confirmed. And Sandy, you too? Great to have you here this morning. Any other announcements to share before we have our closing hymn? Okay, we sing. Thank you, Ann. Go in peace, serve the Lord.